Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Oh boy, it's Halloween specials.
Oh boy.
Mikey B's back.
Hey, I'm here, y'all.
Andy is here.
Sorry, that was a little burp.
It was beyond little.
Beyond
little. I didn't do into the mic.
So. Yeah, did you start to throw up a little?
A little bit.
You look like you did.
Burp.
Beth and Amy.
Andy's here. Face.
Hi.
Not you, Amy.
What?
Andy did.
I'm Freddie.
You are.
If you want to know why Andy's having some real gross verps right now, it's probably because we went to Kuma's Corner last night.
Mm-hmm. Heavy metal restaurant. Yeah,
in Indianapolis, and everything on the menu is themed after heavy metal, and it makes you feel like you ate heavy metal when you're done.
What'd you eat, Andy? What was it called?
I had a big-ass burger.
Was that what it was called?
Yes, big-ass burger.
No, it was the Pat Benatar burger.
It was made from big asses.
It hit you with its best shot?
Yeah.
Right. It was made for children? Hell is for children?
The food was really good. The atmosphere was really good, but I did not appreciate the pounding heavy metal music.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of screaming.
Was it like being on the rock and roller coaster forever and ever?
Come on. Well, here's a whole conversation at Durin last night. What?
Huh?
What? I felt like the Dave Chappelle as Lil Wayne. What?
What heavy metal themed dinner did you have, Freddie?
I had an Iron Maiden burger, but I got chicken on it instead of beef, which was a mistake because their beef was really good.
Why did you get chicken?
I just felt like chicken that night.
You felt like chicken that tonight. Mm. What'd you have, Mikey Mikes?
Mine was just mac and cheese.
Oh.
But you could pick it, and it was real good. I had buffalo chicken in my mac and cheese along with sun-dried tomatoes and mushrooms. I know you wouldn't like the last part.
No.
But I think my drinks were all heavy metal themed.
Yeah.
And they were both real good.
You had a sweet leaf?
I had a sweet leaf, which was delicious. And then the other one was, the lady didn't know how to say it either, so I didn't feel so bad. But I said it was Sanctum Ischium Bim Bim.
Ah.
It was a good two.
Ding dong da ding dang.
It sounds very like the devil was involved.
Yo.
Which was themed.
I had a sweet baby Jesus, which is a peanut butter and chocolate lager or stout. Sorry.
It was
drinking a Reese cup.
It wasn't quite.
No, it wasn't anything like that. But the food was good. The mac and cheese there is out of this world.
It was, but it's part of the tummy troubles of this morning.
Well, the serving size is like a family. It's like what you would expect at like a family dinner to be in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
And that's what a meal is there.
You ever see those like family size Stouffer's macaronis?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Jesus.
It's like if you went to Beppo de Beppo. What's the name of that place? Bupa de Beppo.
Bupa.
Yeah.
Bupa de Beppo.
Yeah, everybody's plates Buka right in Beppo. Front of you.
Boopy de boopy.
Boopsie.
Let's
not talk about boopsies right now.
Mike might have a boopsie.
I didn't go with the boys. They went to Indianapolis. I needed a day off because I've been working a lot. And I stayed home and I had a very nutritious meal. Leftover cake,
leftover
cheesy poofs, leftover pizza.
And that pizza is like 4 days old now.
Oh. Well, it did fine. I'm fine. Yeah.
You're like Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
Keep the change, filthy animals. Yeah.
I have been working on my puzzle that I bought at Horror Hound Weekend. It's from Messed Up Puzzles. So you can find them online. Messed Up Puzzles, and they have horror themed puzzles.
Not an ad, just something that she bought.
Yeah, I bought it.
It's really cool though.
It's a beautiful puzzle. It is the most frustrating. I love to puzzle because it's very relaxing.
Puzzling.
I spend all my time on this puzzle going, you fucking cunt ass puzzle.
Did you say it's the Beyond poster?
Yeah.
Which, if you're familiar with, is a lot of swaths of the same color.
Yeah. It turns out I don't like to be challenged in my leisure time.
Apparently you do, though.
I have to finish it.
Is it just the compulsion at this point?
Yes, I dreamt about it last night.
Not enjoying it anymore?
I'm sitting at the dining room table on our little wooden bench. My back is killing me.
I've been looking at replacing our dining room set. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to get these nice padded chairs. She goes, why in the world would you need padded seats at your dining room table?
You fat ass. I can put a pillow under my ass. I just didn't do it.
It's different, though, when you have one that's made to be sat in for a long time.
Or you can get adjustable tables or adjustable chairs. You can go up and down.
You could do that too.
You could do that. There's lots of options.
We'll get those exercise balls. Sit on that for dinner.
Oh, Amy would never get that.
I sit on my balls enough as it is.
If it's good for your back too.
It's good for your back.
It's been disproven.
I do highly recommend these puzzles. They're extremely well made and everything. I hate it. Just because it's me and I don't want to be challenged. But when I'm done with this thing, I'm going to run up and down the streets high-fiving strangers.
Naked. Yeah.
Naked.
Everything should be done naked.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm missing a piece or two, probably because it fell on the floor. And Millie eats puzzle pieces.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Puzzling behavior.
Mm-hmm. Or do you think that they'd leave it out on purpose because it's called messed up puzzles?
Yeah. Maybe.
It'd be funny though if Millie
ate it real good.
Like a bunch of puzzle pieces and shit out a completed puzzle. I would take that on the road. Mm-hmm. So,
see,
our patrons,
hope it's behind glass. I don't want to smell that.
Yeah, definitely in a Ziploc or something. Thank you for being a patron. If you are a patron, join our Legion of Demons. And what you get for that is all of our bonus content. And then if you're at the base level there, you get a collectible enamel pin.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And if you are on level Leviathan, the next one up, I hope I'm getting these right, you get a t-shirt and a pin. And then our Beelzebubs, who we'll give them shout outs at the end of every episode and include them in the show credits for every numbered. They get our souls.
Mm-hmm.
Soul.
We didn't have a whole lot this week. We have Origins, episode 68.
I've been working a lot.
Where we talk about Rob Zombie's Halloween and the Wilderness. So check that out. That's from 2007.
I was 27.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about what we left Amy to do last night, or are we saving that for a different show?
Why we were out of town.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well,
the heist.
Mike, you're still in for doing a Flaunt Your Haunt episode, right?
Yeah.
So we'll get into the nitty gritty on this, but we went to Indianapolis last night to go to the House of Trepidation with our friends Cassie, Jeremy, and Paul.
Yeah.
And you came home with tetanus.
I stepped on a goddamn nail.
Yeah.
Luckily, it happened at the end of the haunt and not in the middle.
Yeah.
So there was a big old nail in my foot. And
you brought it home. I have it.
It's my souvenir.
We'll go into more detail on it during the full episode, but just in case time sensitive and the tetanus kicks in, I just wanted you to at least get a timestamp that you were there.
Yeah. So
I have a picture of you there.
October 19. I have five witnesses to the fact that a nail went right into my foot, and I paid like $40 for that to happen.
Yeah, and we didn't even get all the haunts. So.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
You made that joke last night.
It was like, good. It was good.
Yeah. And we took a picture together in front of one of the hearses out front, and there was a bunch of teenagers that just decided to linger in our picture.
And they couldn't care less.
They didn't give a shit. We were like, that's fine.
Indianapolis, like you. Get your teens together.
I wanted to rope them in. I suggested that we do like every other person, like one person that's with us and then a random teenager, then a person that's with us and then a random teenager.
I tried to post-op right next to him, just to let him know I might be old, but I'm not irrelevant.
He would have beat your ass.
There was a lot of flexing going on there at the haunt.
There was a lot of flexing.
And I don't know if I would have jumped in, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of teens?
Skinny kids,
I'm not afraid of teens.
Yeah, I think we could.
You can take a teen down. I know the secrets.
Oh, Freddie could take a teen down. All they gotta do is call your wife a bitch.
Yeah.
You'll go after him.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good. You're right.
Take down a teen, yeah.
Well, the best part of my evening last night was beating Gamora again.
Yeah, Gamora is Jeremy and Cassie's English.
I got dog envy.
It's a big, sweet Berber.
What breed is that again? English?
Mastiff.
Mastiff. Thank you.
I just called it a sweetie.
210-pound dog. Can be intimidating. Big bark. You know, you want to snuggle with her, but then you're like, if she decides she doesn't like me, I'm dead.
I mean, that could, you could say the same for our dog.
No, not like this. Like my whole head would have gone in her mouth and then she would have chomped down and my head would have been gone. And then I'd have been twitching around with no head. Yeah. She didn't like Andy had the little, you know, those jack-o'-lantern pumpkin things that you carry around on Halloween that kids put candy in or whatever. He had a tiny little one he made a fascinator out of. I can't call it a hat. It lit up. It was brilliant.
A hat has to cover your whole head.
Yeah, you can't call it a hat because Andy will correct you every damn time.
Don't call it a hat.
So it is a fascinator.
Gamora hated that shit.
Is it haunted, you think?
Dogs can sense evil.
Did it belong to a serial killer one time?
She just kept barking at it. Her bark fills a room.
It does.
It's intense.
How's her breath?
It's like puppy breath. It's not bad.
Yeah,
it
really
it hasn't gotten gross yet.
She's more drooly than smelly.
Yeah, goodness. Jeremy just kept pulling out a towel and wiping drool off of her face.
Wiping them jowls.
It was funny.
Well, as much as I love Gamora, it made me feel bad when I got home and I saw my little dog and I was like, you're not Gamora.
Oh, you shouldn't shame.
Yeah, I know,
your dog. I know, but like,
he came into our house and he looked at Millie and Elsa and goes, you guys aren't as good as her. Yeah. And I'm like, don't say it to her. You could think it.
But then I gave my doggy kisses and it was a fleeting thought, but I think, you know, just Gamora has such a power over you.
Do you miss having a big dog?
No. They're a lot of work.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, as much as I love Gamora, I'm like, ooh, better you than me.
Mm. I don't think I could do the toweling of the face all the time. That seems like I would just let it happen. There'd be drool on everything in my house.
Yeah, she's a good visiting dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's like a grandchild. Yeah. Spoiler and you'll leave.
Yeah, she's cute though.
Yeah.
Very lovable.
I love dogs.
Me too. They're like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
That and steak.
Dog steaks?
Dog steaks. You
combine and make your two in one.
Yeah. Love dogs, love eating dogs.
Unfortunate little bit of banter here.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, Michael.
What was that? Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Did you just smack your head?
On the mic?
I did.
Mic
in the mornings.
How's everybody's 31 days of horror movies for 31 days in October? Is anybody even really doing that? Andy, are you still going?
I think I'm are you guys doing? You guys are somewhat doing it, right?
You know what,
I feel like I'm netting an average of a horror movie a day just by the fact that I might watch two one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And including watching stuff for the show kind of counts. Little Monsters, not Fred Savage, but Lupita Nyong'o's Little Monsters. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Surprisingly good for something that is only on Hulu. I can't believe it didn't have a wide release.
I feel like it was supposed to get a wide release, but somehow something happened.
Makes no sense to me.
Maybe it's the same as like the Netflix Jennifer Aniston kind of movies. Maybe that's Hulu's little...
It might have been like their big deal.
Yeah, their big deal movie to get people roped in and knowing they're doing original stuff now.
Yeah, because it's Josh Gad, Lupita Nyong'o are like the two big names in it. And they're pretty big names.
They're big names.
And it's not like a shitty movie that they just happen to be in where sometimes you're like, oh, were these people slumming? Yeah. It's a really solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are so cute in this.
They are. They're adorable. Yeah.
I've fallen asleep to way more than 31 movies of Halloween. I'm watching a lot of like really good stuff, but then like I'm falling asleep. So I'm somewhere around. I've been watching a lot of Halloween stuff though.
Do you feel like you're working too hard and that's why you can't make it through your leisure?
I don't know. I did finish Banana Splits. I like that one.
Oh, yeah, that was really fun, too.
Yeah, and I just watched Death Becomes Her, which was one as a kid that I remembered seeing.
Such a great movie.
That movie's totally different when you're an adult. Yeah. It's really good.
You say it's an adult film? It's
definitely an adult film. Goldie Hawn gets that hole right through her belly.
She's got a big old hole in her.
That's
a fun movie.
It is fun. It's funny.
I always associate that movie with War of the Roses too, just because of the throwdown aspect of it and how they kind of destroy the house.
The relationship violence.
Yeah. Domestic violence for the sake of entertainment.
The other night my mom was over and we watched some Halloween specials.
Yeah.
We watched Garfield.
Mm. Yeah, that's a classic.
Classic. What else did we watch?
We watched The Rugrats.
Oh, yeah. My mom was like, I love The Rugrats. And I didn't realize my mom loved The Rugrats show.
Yeah, so we watched Rugrats where they had the Reptar bars.
Yeah, Reptar bars.
And the kids were obsessed with getting those. Do you remember that?
I'm sure I've seen it. Remind me.
The kids realize that Angelica gets this thing because she flaunts it as Angelica is a horrible person.
Right.
She brings the Reptar bar over and is like, guess what I get? this chocolate bar that has green stuff in the middle and you don't.
Oh, yes.
And they figure out they can get it by trick-or-treating, but they can't trick-or-treat because they're babies. But their babies. Parents are running a haunted house out of their garage or backyard or whatevs. Mm-hmm. And they get in there to get the Reptar bars. Mm-hmm. And hijinks ensue.
They're like gushers, right?
Mm-hmm. They were real, too.
Reptar bars?
Yeah.
With the green gusher in it.
Yeah, I found them on eBay.
Ooh, don't get those.
No, I wasn't going to.
You'll be too tempted to eat them. You're 20 years old.
Yeah, it was $20 for 3 Reptar bars. Oh.
If I bought them, Andy, would you eat one?
Definitely.
For $5?
Yeah. I wonder what kind of preserve
I like free stuff.
I think you can still simulate them with, like, I think they make Reptar, if you go to, like, those old ice cream trucks.
Yeah.
And the inside of them are still green. So, you can still get them. But they're not like chocolate and green gushy. They're more just like icy.
Isn't there now Cadbury has come into the Halloween market and they have the Cadbury cream eggs for Halloween that are just the same thing with a green slime in the middle. Have you seen those?
I love Cadbury cream eggs.
Did you know you could get them now this time of year?
Why don't I have one?
I'll get you one.
So are they pumpkins instead of eggs?
No, they're still eggs. They just have green film.
Yeah, the witches lay the green and filled eggs.
They're jade eggs.
I should just save this for the Tim Burton movie. You get poop.
I have a hard time stomaching a Cadbury cream egg. They're too rich.
Shut up. You eat so much fucking
I do eat
candy.
A lot of rich stuff.
Is it
stuff.
The consistency once the goosh gets inside your mouth? Is that what bothers you?
It's the filling. The filling is so much sugar.
No. I mean, Amy, you love the Cadbury cream eggs, right? I love them too. And tell me if you eat them the same way I do. You bite the top off, then take your finger and just scoop out the
I don't filling. Use my finger. No. I just suck it out.
Until you, Amy, doesn't use your finger.
No.
Just put them in one of those things that you eat, like a poached egg in. A little egg stand
thing.
Yeah.
I have
fancy shit.
I don't like to get my hands.
I'm the same, Amy.
Food. I don't want food on my hands.
Andy has no caution against finger or mouth goo.
Yeah, if you meet me, don't shake my hand.
No, don't. Yeah. It's been down his pants.
It's mostly been down my pants or covered in Cadbury cream.
Right. It's basically a mall rat's chocolate pretzel situation.
Like I've never had a burger with a fried egg on it because I'm like, that's too messy. Mm. I don't want to eat that.
That's why I go through so many napkins, because if I get it on my fingers, then I got to clean it before I come back.
If I eat something, I have to immediately wash my hands, if I touched it in
any
way.
Can we talk about the fried egg on the burger thing? It's really like a sauce, though, if you break the yolk and move it around. It's just the same as having mayonnaise or ketchup on there. You just can't put too much other stuff on
it. If something looks good, but it might be too messy, I don't order it.
Like ass.
Right? That ass looks good,
you don't
want to
eat
dirty.
A messy ass, yeah.
You gotta clean your shit out first. Mm-hmm. Douche.
Gross. I mean, you should be cleaning your shit out after any moment you can.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to obsessively clean it out, then you'll get all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
Just a public service announcement.
Or you can get a TV show after doing that, though. Yeah. Like with that compulsive show we saw.
My Strange Clean Butthole.
Yeah. And that lady, I felt so bad for her.
Oh.
Yeah. Anything else that you guys want to say at the top?
Wash away.
I'm getting nauseous.
Your ass.
Me too.
Yeah. Wash your ass.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Shane, going fishing, buddy?
Yes, sir. I just got this new fishing rod. It's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Hey, catch a big one for me, okay?
Have fun.
This, gentlemen, this is our worst nightmare. Crocodilus porosus.
So you're saying my son got eaten by an alligator? What'd you tell him?
We don't know that.
Get out of the water! Now!
Crocodilus, what to say about this movie that hasn't been said 1,000 times in the press by now?
He's so mad at me. I watched it with him because I was interested, which is why I picked it.
I'm not mad at you. So here's where I stand on this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spoil it. However,
of course you should.
However, I do recommend it.
What?
I do. And I'll tell you why, for a number of reasons. And one of those reasons is that the star of this movie is Pablo Escobar's brother,
Roberto Escobar,
which is just a fun trivia thing, regardless of how you feel about the movie itself.
Are you recommending it because you're worried the cartel is going to come get you?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm afraid.
Because the cartels listen to us. Yeah.
Cartels love this show.
No, you know what? I'm going to take a stand. If you're in a cartel listening to this, you stop listening. You're not allowed.
You're bad. Gotta make a living, Amy.
It's nice knowing you, Amy.
You're bad.
Gotta make a living. Miles Erfurth directed and wrote this. He started out as a camera operator on Wipeout. Amy found that out.
Oh, that game show where you fall?
Where you fall when you bounce off stuff. But this movie is a very earnest movie. It's not self-aware or goofy on purpose, which makes it kind of a gem in a way where you can't believe what you're seeing.
Is it along the lines of Birdemic or Room or something like that?
I would say it's kind of like that, only it's better than those as a film. It really reminds me of some of the old, like, cryptid movies that came out in the 70s and 80s. There is a, you start off, of course, you have your cold open, which are these two ladies that are girlfriends that are going to this oasis to bathe and make out or whatever. I don't know what they're doing exactly. It's just having fun.
Well, that's nice.
Florida.
I like to see positive representations of lesbians.
Mm-hmm. It was all borderline lipstick lesbian moment, but it was still kind of real. And, but then they got eaten by crocodiles. So there you go. That's the setup. Now we meet our main characters, who are the Sheriff McAvoy, Roberto Escobar, his wife.
His actor's name is Escobar, but he plays a McAvoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you wouldn't.
I like colorblind casting. That's nice.
It's very colorblind.
He produced it too. Yeah. This is his star vehicle.
It's like Scarlett Johansson said, anybody should be able to play anything.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, then there's also I kind of jumped past something in the cold open.
You do not need to go through every detail.
But this is kind of interesting that they're discussing like human sacrifice used to happen at this area, and like there's these flashback sequences of like a priestess and some sort of ritual, which really has nothing to do with anything as the movie unfolds. It's just another thing they threw in there. But this hits all of the Jaws moments. The you can't close the lake moment.
Is there a big holiday coming up?
Yeah, wasn't it Labor Day weekend?
Spring break.
Spring break, that's right.
You want me to close the lake on spring break? And then he's like, yes, okay, you have 48 hours to do what? I don't know. There's a lot of throwing his hands up in the air. And then there's like the scene where there's the little boy you heard in the trailer who is this adorable little boy wearing, he looks like a Newsies extra and he's got his kitty. It's his birthday. So he has his new fishing pole. So he decides to go fishing. And of course he gets eaten by crocodiles.
Oh, he's like that. He's the Alex Kittner.
Yep. And they find his leg and it has this giant tooth in it. And there's an expert that comes in who is delivering the most monotone performance I've seen in a long time, and they give him these weird moments of conflict to have with other characters where it's like a pissing contest type of scenario, but the dialogue makes no sense. You know, like it'd be like, well, you should carry my bags because you're not even, you went to Harvard.
Oh,
that sort of thing. Harvard, he's like, boy. Yeah, I went to Harvard, so I guess my hands are clean. You know, I mean, that's the kind of shit, and that's almost the delivery, and so totally straight. No sense of irony or jokiness to it, which makes it hilarious by default. And at one point he even says like this attack looks like it was a great white shark. It didn't make sense. It also didn't make sense. Like the wounds versus how this crocodile's thing.
Oh, the coroner says to the sheriff, he's like, you've seen Jaws, right?
Yeah.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. And the coroner also has a really bad wig.
Yeah.
That's so fun. It's crocodilos.
Crocodilus.
Dillus.
Dillus.
Which is the real, I think that's the real, like.
Yeah, it's like the etymology. Like,
yeah, the naming.
Sounds like a Friday's drink or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Crocodiles.
But, like, I thought crocodiles were are not in Florida.
Are you?
Gators. But it doesn't matter.
It is gators.
And it's like a crocodile mixed with an armadillo?
Well, it turns out, and again, these plot points don't matter to the audience or the people that made it. So, like, you can watch this and still have fun with it, even though you're going to know what's going to happen. There's this other character that comes in. This is another thing that they do in this movie that is very, like, misguided. There's a character who comes in by helicopter who meets up with this other science team. He's an older man. And the science team that we have who first shows up is the really monotone guy. His buddy who wears a neckerchief through the whole movie and is, like, nailing his research assistant, this lady with tattoos, even though that guy is just played. It doesn't make sense why they're together, because this guy looks like he's an interior decorator character kind of thing, where he's obviously, I played very gay to me, so I don't understand why they even had that relationship. And it felt
Freddy
very
has
weird.
Outdated concepts.
I know, not to pigeonhole people, right? But no, there was something
you've met me, right?
So. Yeah,
right. When you know, Gator goes off, you're
he
like,
looks
nah,
like you.
I could ignore it. Or
some people are just gay, okay?
Yeah.
Right? It just feels misguided as a storytelling thing to have a character who presents as so gay to have him be like a love interest to this female character when, and I know that sexuality is a spectrum. But, like, it just felt jarring in the movie. Like, it didn't even need to be in there at all, that relationship.
How gay are we talking about? Like, Jack from Will and Grace?
Neckerchief gay.
Okay.
Neckerchief with a deep V.
Mm. A deep V and big hair.
And a denim jacket.
Yeah. You'll see. You should watch this.
Yeah.
Nobody should watch this.
Sure, I'll see.
And the guy's the guy who played him, he's like a lifestyle expert or
something.
According
to his IMDb bio, it says he's a lifestyle fixture in Miami.
So he's like one of those queer guys.
Who the fuck?
Kinda. Is? It seems like it. Like a kind of a low rent.
Yeah.
Anyways, so the older guy shows up in the helicopter, and he immediately starts busting balls on the monotonous scientist guy. And you're like, what? I don't understand this relationship. They're being real mean to each other for no reason. And so that happens. It's almost like they were like, they learned in screenwriting class that you have to have conflict in most of your scenes. So they just put conflict in scenes to have it there. And then, it turns out the scientist who came in, who it's very confusing because like he shows up like in a suit and he's displayed as a certain kind of character. And the next time you see him, he's dressed like Crocodile Dundee for no reason. Like there's no transition. I'm like, wait, is that the same guy? And they do this multiple times. They'll put hats on people when they didn't have hats on in other scenes.
That's a weird criticism.
Well, no,
but they are jarring hats. They're the kind of hat that the like hat what? That has like, so much character.
Freddy
that
has a hard
the character
time.
Has to always wear the hat.
Like his
the
ADD hat. Requires him to like, you need to be consistent or he doesn't know right. who you are.
So we're right. talking about like big derby hats, like from My Fair Lady or something.
No, it's a Crocodile Dundee hat. So what I'm saying is if you're the kind of guy that wears a Crocodile Dundee
that's
hat,
that's not a hat.
You wear it all the time.
Right.
And you don't change up your style for a helicopter ride just to do
I
it.
I have a Crocodile Dundee hat that I don't wear all the time.
But you're not a character in a movie.
But I am a character.
You are a character. I mean, like if Freddy Krueger came out and he kept changing his sweater.
Right.
Okay.
I have a Freddy Krueger sweater.
But there's only one dude with burnt up skin and knives for fingers.
But what if he didn't always have his glove on? Like, you could be like, who's this other burnt guy?
This is very, listener, this is very much indicative of watching a movie or TV show with Freddy where his attention wanders.
Mm-hmm.
He's not sure what's happening anymore. And if you're not wearing the exact same thing.
Well, they do it. Costume changes
are.
This is not the kind of movie that earns a costume change.
I'm going to carry so many hats in my car. I'm like,
you can do it. Again, you're not a character, Andy. I'm not going to be like, who's that Asian guy that just came in here with that duster hat on?
It is very much movies and TV.
This morning when we were watching DuckTales and Huey Woo-hoo. Dewey went to get the bottle of soda pop, but came back with a cup of soda pop. Did that throw you off? Did you forget who Huey Dewey?
You took issue with that.
I did take issue
with
that.
So I feel like you and I are on the same wavelength.
Might be. There's a little bit of a continuity issue.
And if Huey Dewey and Louie switched shirts, you would have no fucking idea which one's which.
You're right.
Okay.
Everything's topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
It's
stuck and ridiculous.
All right, tell them what. Okay,
so it turns out the older guy had been doing experiments on his son to cure his lymphoma, because crocodiles and alligators never get cancer. so I should inject crocodile juice into my son.
Oh. Well, guess what happens?
His son becomes a Sleestak from Land of the Lost, essentially.
He's a werecroc.
And here's the thing. He does not have giant teeth. Yet, earlier in the movie, they pulled a giant tooth out of the first victim. He just has normal-sized people teeth. They just happen to be really sharp. Think about it.
Did he have a hat on?
See, the thing is, I would have recognized him with a crocodile face if they put a hat on him in a different scene. But if then I would have entertained the idea that there were two crocodile men at that point. If they put a hat on him.
How entertaining.
Does that make sense?
How did you know once he was a Sleestak that he was still the same person?
Right. There's no way to know.
No.
But I feel like however long this movie was, which it wasn't very long, which bless that mess.
It was 1 hour 40 minutes.
No way. Yeah. But way shorter, which is good.
Which shows you that it is entertaining.
But yeah. I had a margarita. Yeah. So this storyline, you know, this thing is killing people. The werecroc and the guy, you know, injecting that's like maybe 10 minutes of the movie. The rest of it is just the sheriff roaming around
and hats.
It didn't who bad, but I had fun. I did have fun with it.
There are a lot of scenes of small talk too. Like, yeah. And that's kind of like when you watch that's where it's like The Room in some respects is there are scenes of small talk. Where you're like, they will have an important plot point to deliver, but they're like, let's get the small talk out of the way. Then we'll deliver the plot point.
Now, how did the crocodile Dillis look? Was it decent effects, though?
I mean, it was a practical effect.
It was a
on
guy with like a...
He had a mask on, essentially.
And like hand stuff.
He had hands.
Hand stuff. I like to do that on dates, too.
Like a hand mask.
Hand stuff.
Yeah. Gloves.
Like a puppet.
Yeah.
A hand mask.
Was that second base?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you got a crocodilus wearing hand doing hand stuff.
Yeah.
It was silly, but I think I delight in the trivia that it's Pablo Escobar's brother.
Yeah, and then it's directed by the guy who was a camera operator on Wipeout. That
and
makes
it was
fun
filmed,
too.
You know, in Florida.
It's super Miami and it's so a lot Florida. Of local people.
It's I not think. Miami, honey. It is like Fort Lauderdale and maybe even a little interior.
Oh,
so that's
that's
a different no. I mean it's a different vibe. Miami is like Miami.
Yeah.
This is not but Miami.
But wasn't this filmed in Miami?
In the greater DMA.
The greater Miami area.
Yes, the Census Bureau is just statistical area.
Oh, gotcha.
It's very much interior. Like
it's very retired. It felt like a retirement community.
Yeah.
Is what it felt like. And everybody who was wandering around there were a lot of,
it gives more of a Daytona vibe than a Miami vibe.
Miami vibe.
I can say mean things about Florida and talk about what a trash oasis it can be because I was born there and I live there for most of my childhood.
Here's the thing. I feel Florida gets too much shit.
It does. I love it.
I love the own your trashiness.
That's what I love about Florida. It is like just a hotbed of weird. And like you say, keep Austin weird. No. The entire state of goddamn Florida. Keep that shit weird.
At least they have character.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has a lot of character.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, I don't want to be like one of those, you know, quote unquote flyover states where like they just blend together. Florida.
Be Florida. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why Eileen Wuornos hung out there.
If you've got to be a state, be Florida.
Yeah. I love it. I would totally move back.
I don't know about that. I don't think I could live there.
I don't really care. I'll leave your ass.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go get married to a crocodilist.
How would you feel if one morning you get up and an alligator ate your dog?
That happened to a friend of mine. We lived on a lake.
It happens. And or like imagine how you react to a normal size insect here in Ohio.
When I was a kid in Florida, I would play with the lizards. Like I would pick them up. They didn't bother me.
And now you're terrified.
Now I'm terrified. I've been gone too long.
Do you want to get reacquainted with that part of yourself and handle some lizards?
I think that's
I like lizards.
I think I would probably have a better quality of life if I was less afraid of bugs.
Speaking of, there's a video I showed Amy. Like there's this guy who was called, and he is an expert handler of alligators. Sorry. And snakes. He gets called into this house in Florida where they're like, there's an alligator in our pool. It's like an 8-foot. It's a big alligator. And he just played with it until he tired it out. And once it was tired, he just carried it out to his pickup truck. And it was a real sweet, adorable video if you can find it. Although I don't recommend doing it.
Did you hear about him this week, though?
Problematic.
Yeah.
He diddled that alligator.
He is from Florida.
You only get that five times.
Yeah.
Five times.
Florida gets shit because of their sunshine laws, where you hear about and you know about all of the wackadoo things that happen. And in other states, you don't, that isn't released to the public and not freely available, but that shit's happening. Yeah. Like the guy in Hamilton that was fucking pool toys in people's pools. What? Multiple times they busted him.
Like not his own pool?
See, were this shit like happens swimmies? In Ohio.
Yeah, trash is everywhere, people.
Trash
what
is
kind
everywhere.
Of, what kind of pool toys was he fucking?
It doesn't matter.
Tell me, no, it does
it
now.
It does. I feel like a all water of, wing would be like.
It was a pool noodle.
Was it a pool noodle?
They pool got noodles the, make sense.
They're hollow. Yeah.
I mean, all pool toys are hollow somewhere.
I mean, it could be gifted. Yeah. It could be an inner tube.
Oh, that guy's huge.
That's not a gift.
No, that's a no, curse that's at that point.
Depends.
It takes more
depends
than gifts.
How creative you are.
No.
So,
you can't be creative with the 3-foot dick.
On Crocodilus, you know, the boy doesn't have lymphoma anymore.
Oh, so, but he's so a Crocodilus.
But he's a were-croc.
So how dare we judge his father's tests? It worked.
He got murdered.
But he fits in Florida real well.
By the chief of police.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a great heart-wrenching moment when Crocodilus kills the chief's wife, and there's a big no, and then they cut out to the wider angles.
And he's just like, ah,
why?
Did he actually wave his fist in the air?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Watch it.
What about what we've told you right now makes you think that wouldn't have happened?
Everything else, I believe, but waving your fist in the air while shouting no.
Oh, they throw in some great backstory with the dad of the Fisher kid, where he's an ex-cop. You find out later when they're fighting in the bar, when he's like, now you know how I suffered when my wife died. Mm. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. And he's like, you're not sorry. You fired me from being a police officer because I was sad. So you get a little of that.
Sure.
I mean, it's
good. Got fired because he was sad?
It runs deep. Still waters.
Still waters, they do.
Crocodilus is the still waters of independent film.
Sounds like it's a movie with something to say.
Yeah.
It'll bite into you.
All right. Are you ready to move into the next thing?
Yeah. What do I show you numbers, right?
Oh, God. You're just ruining the experience for everyone listening.
Sorry. All right. Mike's up first. You're safe. Then Andy.
Still scared me.
You all right?
It means I'm dead.
Does it mean you're dead?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean you're dead.
Dysfunctional. I'm movie dead.
You like the build up? Oh my God, the suspense is killing me.
All right. I just want the listeners to know, I just got the notification that our Oga's Cantina reservation is confirmed.
I was taking a piss when this happened, so you're going to have to explain to me what that place is when we're done.
We're going to drink some Chub Nub.
Oh, is that the Star Wars place?
Yeah, it's the Star Wars bar. You idiot.
Not Chub Nub.
They've probably changed the name. They changed the name of everything so people would understand what it was.
Rub Chub.
Illuminated with Star Wars juice.
You inject your son with Star Wars, because Star Wars doesn't get cancer.
You ever seen a Star Wars with cancer?
Exactly.
All right. I'm
that was like, I had an uncle that said, you ever see a fat Chinese person? And that was his justification for eating Chinese food every day.
Oh.
He's fat.
Which uncle?
Charlie.
Oh, yeah. That guy was in.
Sorry to blow up your spot, Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charles.
Uncle Charles, y'all. Yeah,
Uncle Charles, y'all.
We do not miss him. The Wrath.
Oh, don't say that.
Why not? I didn't. I mean, he's not my uncle.
But, you know, he's a
she
person.
Meant the one from the song.
Yeah.
I don't have to hang out with everybody to be a good person.
Yeah, but
all right. The movie I'm going to watch and review for you next week, or whenever that is on Shudder. It's called The Wrath. It's Korean. In this supernatural creeper set in 14th century Korea, a curse is killing the sons of the kingdom's highest ranking official. When the final son dies, his pregnant widow must face vicious family politics and the vengeful spirit descending on the household. A remake of the 1986 Korean horror and essential Women's Wail.
Women's Wail Daily?
The Wrath is elegant horror with funhouse chills.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
House.
Yeah.
Chills.
Fun.
Andy was giggling while you were reading that description.
Why? No, just the family politics. Like, ooh, the scary family politics.
True dad, Holmes. You ready for the meat? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do it. You can keep coughing. The main attraction. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Forgot to turn my microphone back up. We have a couple of Halloween specials for you this week. Mm. First up is Mikey B's pick from 1978. Alice Cooper on The Muppet Show.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Who's singing that? The Muppets on The Muppet
Show tonight. That's Leo.
Oh.
Mm.
It's Leo season.
Loved it now. I loved it when I was a kid.
I love it now.
I probably watched this episode a lot of times. I have watched this episode a lot of times. Anyhow, Muppets, Alice Cooper. What could be better? It's a classic Muppet Show. It's the spooky Halloween episode. So there's all we know from Kermit is there's going to be spooky stuff. And then Alice Cooper shows up and he has two musical numbers. There's three musical numbers. And then there's a weird somewhere over the rainbow from it's beautiful, but it's like a weird in the middle of the creepy show.
Yeah. You felt like there was going to be a moment where like crocodiles came out of the water and ate him.
It never happened.
Yeah. He does. Welcome to My Nightmare.
It is Welcome to My Nightmare and that School's Out.
School's Out, and then that sweet song with the Miss Piggy as bird thing.
As bird thing, as like this weird, colorful big bird skeleton. Like
they're in love.
They're in love and they're doing stuff.
Yeah. I want to take you to heaven.
They want to take you. Yeah. And then, yeah. So, yeah, it's the Muppet Show.
So I feel like Alice Cooper is a perfect fit for the Muppet Show.
He is a perfect fit. He's so cheesy in this.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah.
I love a good, anybody who can look at a camera and give a good deadpan is just, I love it. He does it great. He's got the face makeup. He looks ridiculous and he's just as cool as shit in this Muppets episode.
It just brings to mind how dangerous so many parents felt that Alice Cooper was and to see him interact with he's just such a sweet man.
Yeah.
And really, when you look back on, I mean, the exception of like dead babies,
right?
His stuff was mostly just real theatrical, and even dead babies was, I mean, it's funny to me.
It was a precursor to gore.
Yeah.
I love that in this episode. There's some, what I really like is that it's actually is dark. Like Alice Cooper is basically like the devil's helper, maybe the devil himself. And he's trying to get these Muppets to sell their souls for whatever they want, which is great. And there's like literally a guy shooting arrows at like Muppets heads. And one of the Muppets takes one right through the head, which is
in one ear and out the other.
Yeah. In one ear and out the other.
What I liked about it most was the way they kept saying to themselves, like, this show's too weird. I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. He's really, this is not something I can handle. And I'm like, it's pretty tame. You lamos.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm messing with them.
Yeah.
They're just Muppets. They can't help it.
That's right. Really like, that strikes a nice balance though with, because the audience is probably feeling that. Because the perception of him at that time.
So devilish.
By some people.
Yeah.
If he's going to pop up on primetime, you kind of have to address the fact that he is not your typical
right
kid show guest,
right? And he gets to be with some of my favorite Muppets characters that you don't get a lot of playtime with, even though like this seems like you could tell that they knew this episode of this season. I think this is season one, no, season three.
Okay.
Is it? I don't know, it doesn't matter. You can tell because they're giving you the big shows like Pigs in Space. They're giving you a Honeydew and Beaker skit, so they're giving you like the big stuff. They knew this was going to be one of their bigger shows, but you also get Sweetums. who does get some appearances, but some of the bigger characters that come out for the Alice Cooper numbers, which I absolutely love.
And he has his own, there's like a set of Muppets I haven't seen before in his band.
Yes.
Like they bring, cause they're like, these aren't our monsters. He goes, no, they're the monsters I brought.
Yeah.
So you get like a little extra too, even.
You get like a backstory that Alice Cooper is connected to. He's kind of a Muppet.
Yeah.
He's kind of a Muppet of a man. A Muppet of-
That'd be a great cover for him to do.
Yeah.
His outfit that he wears for School's Out.
Yes.
When he takes off the graduation robe.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
He's so skinny.
He is skinny.
It's like a red lycra. Skin tight little cat suit with a devil tail and those boots.
Yeah,
they had a big old heel on them.
And he's not afraid to make out with a Muppet.
No,
not
even a little.
Yeah,
it makes me want to see a Marilyn Manson Muppet show so bad.
It would be hard to top this.
Yeah,
it really would. I mean, it would be updated. Obviously, it's 1978. They do a lot of special effects, so it's not just Muppets. It's special effects, which I love because they're pretty charming.
Pyro.
I mean, I don't think that your typical anybody under the age of 20 would go, that's really awful. But like for that time, like a lot of the like the floating stuff that just kind of flies around my strings. It's just over. Yeah, I just love this. This is just like the perfect.
I like
Halloween. I love Muppets. So
Sam Eagle comes in and just like tells Alice Cooper in his dressing room, like, "You're a freako." What else does he call him?
Calls him a naughty boy.
He's naughty.
He's naughty.
He's a naughty boy. And Alice Cooper gives that great look to the camera again and goes, "Thank you." I love it.
It was adorable.
It is adorable. And
the parents of America were like,
I would love to know if there's some controversy around when this came on. Because again, I was saying this earlier, Muppets have always had that weird balance between, is it a kid show or is it not? Is it
for adults?
Is it for adults? Because this is definitely an episode that I remember seeing it as a kid and that being scary. It's like when you think of Imanotter, Jugman Christmas, and the Rocketbot. What are the other band? The rival band comes out and plays. It was scary stuff. Welcome to My Nightmare is definitely a scary number. So I'm sure I remember being a kid and being afraid of that one, but still loving it and coming back.
Well, yeah, his song, Welcome to My Nightmare. Then the song about like laying in bed with his woman and doing fun stuff.
And doing fun stuff and going to heaven.
Yeah.
In my mind, like I think as a kid too, like Elvira and Alice Cooper were married.
Yeah.
Like they're the same kind of person to me.
Yes.
Yeah. And
the shtick.
The
gimmick.
The funny enough is, and I need to do a little more research. I just found out there's going to be a new Alice Cooper pinball machine. And I really hope there's some kind of throwback, because I think this is definitely a highlight for his career. I think when you talk about Alice Cooper and like his performances, that Welcome to My Nightmare number, probably even more than the School's Out, which is more fun.
Yeah.
But that Welcome to My Nightmare number has got to be a piece of any Alice Cooper retrospect. Yes, for sure.
It's Muppets, Wayne's World.
Yes.
There you go. Milwaukee.
I feel besides Alice Cooper, probably John Denver is the other one who's mostly associated. Like they're, for me, those are the two big.
Yeah.
Yes. That and the Vincent Price thing, which Andy said he couldn't find.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean it's funny too, because you think about that and it's like John Denver is to Muppets in Christmas as Alice Cooper is to Muppets in Halloween. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely feels that way.
For sure.
I get that. I was trying to find if there were any examples of like people freaking out over him appearing, but I probably should have started looking for that.
There was some kind of nightmarish stuff all throughout them. It's just like, if you think of when you were a kid, if you're around our age or your late 30s and you're a kid and you think about Sesame Street, there's some nightmare stuff in Sesame Street too. When you think about some of those little cutouts, interstitials.
I think it's fun.
It is fun. It's fun.
Andy has to go. Say bye, Andy.
I have to throw something away.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, bye, Andy.
See you later.
See ya.
You sure you don't want to come back for
let him go.
A house that squirts.
Let him go.
Bye, Andy.
Bye.
His tum-tum is a rum-rum. The Muppets. Are we good there?
I mean, can there ever be good enough on the Muppets?
No.
I love the Muppets so much.
They are darling.
I'm the soul of a Muppet. I'd sign a contract to have a Muppet.
Do you want to become one and live in a Muppet land?
Some might say I already am a little bit.
You are a Muppet.
I've been challenged about whether or not I'm a man or a Muppet of a man. Mm. But if I am, I'm a very manly Muppet.
A very manly Muppet.
Thank you.
It's like mask for mask for the Muppets. Bye, oh. Andy. He waved again, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye, goodbye, goodbye.
Have fun doing your laundry.
Throwing stuff away.
Wink, wink.
Okay.
So up next is our listener selected short, originally aired on the Disney Channel 1982, 83, somewhere around there. Tim Burton directed, Hansel und Gretel. Only aired once.
Yeah.
Why?
I think the reasoning was that he was embarrassed by it.
Who?
Tim Burton.
Oh.
And also, it could be that it's super weird and maybe even a little scary and uncomfortable.
It was definitely upsetting.
Who was our listener that picked this?
Drake.
I wonder what you think of this, sir. Tell us, or ma'am, or whatever you are.
Chris Drake? I'm pretty sure he's a dude.
Okay.
I think.
Because this was
apologize
just...
apologize if I'm wrong.
I thought this was just terrible. But that's me. I'm not a... Mm. Okay. I appreciated some of the design elements because those are things that carry through his other work that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of design stuff in here is very much... Nightmare Before Christmas and all that stuff.
Right.
Which
even,
I love.
Even I think some of the stuff looks like it was reused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love that, of course. But the actual telling of the story of Hansel and Gretel and the acting and just where it went was, I just, woo, no thank you.
See, I loved it.
Andy said it was very student filmish, and I can see that. It's very amateur-y.
Yeah, it was one of his earlier works. So
it's surprising to me that this actually played on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I had seen this in 82, it was kind of upsetting now.
Yeah,
I don't know if upsetting is the right word. It's unsettling.
Yes,
because of it's so gooey.
It's like
so the, wet.
It's just a gloppy, gooey,
mm-hmm.
like liquidy, gross ass, mm-hmm. weird.
Yes.
Fucking thing.
It is weird.
The set pieces, it just was too stark and it was too artsy for like what it should have been for me, for how I wanted it to be,
mm-hmm.
for what I think that story and things on Disney Channel should be.
It's definitely abstract. The opening's super abstract.
Kids love abstract storytelling.
You know what though? That's true to a certain respect.
Don't. Get out of my life.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I was hooked on that stuff and it was weird. And I watch it now. And I'm like, that's creepy.
No, but like it there's a weird. Difference between weird and abstract.
Just go on.
Go on. Tell me why you love it.
I thought the performance by Michael Yama as the stepmother / witch was fantastic.
It was in. Yeah. I mean, the choices were fine.
It was campy and memorable. I love the look of it. I love the gross moments. I don't know.
Like when the swan boat at the end spit out a bunch of money?
That was great. And then it just started barfing coins everywhere. I was a big fan. I guess originally Vincent Price hosted this or presented it. And when it aired, it was Halloween of 1983, by the way.
I mean, the story of Hansel and Gretel is scary, you know?
Yeah. I love, there's also moments of genius in this, like, instead of just birds eating the breadcrumbs, when the second time the kids go into the woods, because the stepmother is caught on to the fact that they were leaving a trail, and that's how they found their way back, she sends this animatronic duck with them that the husband had made. And they're pulling it along while dropping the breadcrumbs and it's eating them. It's this machine. And I just thought that was brilliant.
Well, it's like that Nightmare Toys that comes along in A Nightmare Before Christmas. And some of those toys, I think if you were a Tim Burton fan, you do need to see this because you'll be like, oh my gosh, that's the forest from Nightmare Before Christmas. I think if you're a fan of Beetlejuice, well, Tim Burton in general, but
yeah.
Beetlejuice and Nightmare yes. Before Christmas, you see both of these elements yes. clearly represented yeah. all through this movie. It's definitely it's an experience. And I agree with the student film aspect of it. There's nothing wrong with this film. Like, did it hit me as like that, like, ooh, like what I like in a Halloween kind of time special where it's like cozy and warm and fun?
Yeah, it's not,
not that at no. all. Yeah. This is like gooey goopy. And it's the gross out is that the kids, like the the candy house is where the gross out of everything really starts to happen. Is the candy house is liquid candy.
And it's rupturing in places.
Yeah. It looks very like a body, almost like stuff squirting like a pimple or whatever out. And these kids are just eating that shit up. And it's
borderline gross. Like Cronenberg.
It's territory. Very Cronenberg. Yes.
The weird doll that's like, eat me. Yes. The boy keeps eating him and he's like, eat more. Uh-huh.
That was nightmarish.
That was nightmarish.
Especially
that was,
watching his face change where you could just see the evil and the kid didn't want to eat him. But the thing was like, you're going to eat me.
I mean, obviously this twerk for me, but
how'd you feel about the candy cane nunchucks?
Those were funny.
Those were funny.
The candy cane nose was funny on the witch.
Yeah.
Huh? The candy cane throwing stars.
I just, whatever.
I mean, it's definitely weird. But like, I don't know. I guess I was in the right mood for it. It's again, like what you said, it's not what I would want out of a Halloween special necessarily.
Right.
But from like an art film standpoint, it did a lot of clever stuff. Like I really enjoyed like the oven design and everything. Like there's a lot of just really brilliant visual moments throughout it.
So I don't remember the original story, like the Grimm brothers, right?
Yep.
But in this, the mother is the witch. Stepmother is the witch?
I don't think
In the original, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the original story, she just let the kids, they couldn't feed the kids anymore, so she deliberately lost them in the woods so they would just die.
Die, yeah. But this time, she's just a fucking bitch, and she's like, I don't like you. Leave.
Yeah.
And so the kids, you know, they get out of the witch's house because they burn her up in the oven, like AP Huge. Mm-hmm. And then
she does a flying kick into the oven.
She does.
Like Liu Kang.
Like a ninja kick in there. And then the house just melts into goo. It just glops.
It glops.
And then a boat comes out of it and takes the children home.
It turns like into like the house is like a big marshmallow fluff mess. And then it kind of turns into like this burnt turkey. And then it becomes a goose toy boat.
I feel like the goose toy was the father had sent that for them.
Yeah. So that's cool.
So was it a stepmom or was it mom?
It was stepmom. I thought it was mom at first too, but she's credited as stepmother.
Okay.
So
which makes more sense.
When they get home, the dad is like, oh, thank God you're here. I'm so happy. Your mom's gone.
Yeah. And they're like, yay.
Yeah. They were so happy to be rid of her. She ate all the guacamole.
That was so gross.
Is the story insinuating that the dad killed her while the kids were gone?
No, the kids killed her.
So the mom is the witch?
Yes.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he's like, I'm going to make you a big old spaghetti dinner tonight. And they're like, but we're still poor. And that's when the boat spits out all the money. And then they fly up into the air together.
If you don't get this, you're not paying attention.
Yeah. It's a metaphor. Whoever recommended this again?
Drake.
Okay, so I'm very, very glad that I saw it because I do think this is one of those things that's like a hidden, like, did you know about Tim Burton? Dude, this is like the Meet the Feebles of Tim Burton's career, basically. So I'm glad that I've seen it. I'm glad that I got to experience it with people because I think by myself, I'd have been like, I don't like this.
You wouldn't be sure if you're awake or not.
I wouldn't be sure if I was fever dreaming or not. But that's that beautiful thing about these kinds of films. Like there are those like five or six films that I saw as a kid, you know, that I don't think I was ready to see, like a kind of like that thing that if I had seen it then that would have been etched in is not like fun, scary, but like hauntingly scary.
Bad,
like,
scary.
Like running into Watership Down and seeing that or Heavy Metal or all those things that just like, you're like, ooh, wasn't ready for that. I would not have been ready for that.
Yeah. Y'all ready for this?
I wouldn't have been ready for that jelly all over that house. And
there's a lot of jelly.
There's a lot of clumpy jelly.
The evil witch, she's wearing like this cape robe covered in stars and like
throwing stars. Circles,
but it turns out those are throwing stars. But the kid just takes it out of the wall and just kind of sucks on it.
Yeah.
Because it's sweet.
It's because it has our wall goo
on it. Yeah.
And then she's got like paintball candy blasters that she can throw.
That sounded like an 80s commercial. I would have loved
paintball candy blasters. In your mouth.
I just found it to be so weird.
It was weird.
It's so weird.
It was weird.
Like, just, it was weird.
Super weird.
They're like, oh, the kids are walking out of the set. This is like tiny little house. And then they walk out and then the forests are going to get hidden. And there's like five trees painted on a piece of paper. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, no.
They keep getting lost in those trees.
Those are some dumb kids. Maybe they deserve to get lost.
Oh, Amy.
I was kidding.
How could you?
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I saw it.
You saw it.
It happened.
You had the experience.
I can see. Clearly. Like I said, all the thing I can see clearly now. The Hansel and Gretel is gone. I can see all the things that Tim Burton did later that I love. I don't have to love everything he does.
Yeah.
So.
Is Tim Burton Paranorman or Frankenweenie? I always get confused.
Frankenweenie.
Okay. I like both of those.
Yeah.
I could see a little
Frankenweenie
in there.
A Frankenweenie. Frankenweenie?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there we go. We did another month of Spooky Ookie.
We got Spooky Ookie.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah. So here's the dealio, folks.
Yeah.
What's the deal, Fred?
We're giving away another copy, or I should say that Rob Tony is giving away another copy of his anthology, People, a horror anthology about love, loss, life, and things that go bump in the night.
And you listeners are people who need people.
Mm. You will also, if we draw your name, get to pick the final main attraction for next month's theme, which I'll tell you what that is.
When we decide what it is. Do we know what it is?
I got a list here. I'm just going to grab one off the list. All right. A loner hunts down his best friend's beastly killer. A man discovers new life in the wake of a personal tragedy. An ancient mystery unfolds in the mountains of upstate New York. In Japan, Hansel and Gretel meet the witch. No, just kidding. A spirit finds a connection. A woman finds her new side business is fraught with unexpected terrors. A child makes new friend in another worldly boy. A high school prom cruise enters uncharted waters. These stories and more are found within. So you, we pull your name. And if you want to enter this raffle, how you do that is you just sign up for our mailing list, notlp.com. Scroll down till you see the Dracula stamp. You sign up there. Number.
Who gets to eat the house?
Oh, hold up.
Oh, no. Something happened. Freddie done fucked up.
I didn't fuck up.
But you might have fucked up a little. He's okay. I'll just tell you that.
Okay, there we go.
I have some coffee here. It's delicious. What is it?
Emily and Travia.
Our little baby girl.
Emily.
She's my almost birthday twin.
That's right. So our theme.
Arthur's theme?
For next month will be crazy for you.
Ooh. Crazy. What does that mean?
That means these are films about mass hysteria.
Oh.
And
will I finally see They Live? They Live.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes,
They Live.
So think about it, Emily. Let us know what movie about mass hysteria. Like
dogs and cats living together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria.
You know, like what the country is undergoing right now.
Oh. Let's go back to a Tim Burton world instead.
Yeah, where the walls are sugary.
Can you imagine the ants?
Oh no.
The ants.
Think about it.
Did you say sugar walls?
You can be higher ants. I'm just pulling up our patrons right now.
That's why we're making sound effects now.
Can you tell that we're doing
making sound effects now on the Night of the Living podcast show tonight?
I wouldn't want to be in a place where everything was edible for many reasons. One, bugs. Of course, I've already gone over that. Two, I don't like to have food on my hands. Everything would be sticky. I don't want to be sticky. Mm-hmm. Right? Three, what if it's really hot?
Yeah.
I just feel like that is an uncomfortable, sugary, gross, and then things are spoiling. You don't want that. If things are cold, then you can't really eat them because they're like frozen. You know what I mean?
Would you rather live in a Tim Burton sugar walls house in Florida or have Muppets shoot apples off of your head in Hollywood? Pick. You must choose.
Muppets
shooting.
Well, because the Muppet that got the arrow through the head, he was fine.
Yeah, you're immortal when you're a Muppet.
Yeah. He's okay.
Obviously the immortality one.
I'm used to having headaches.
We can visit Florida.
I live with Freddy.
Are all Muppets immortal? Or is that a part of your Muppet gift pack?
Elmo has not aged. He's still being potty trained.
Yeah.
All right. Our patrons, so our Beelzebubs, who are our most generous members, keep us going. And boy, do we need you. Amanda James.
What up, girl?
Lots of love.
Love you.
Iona.
Hey, lady, where would you rather be? Sugar walls or Muppet arrows?
They have all those things in Australia.
With a scorpion at the same time.
Oh, that's not a scorpion.
Ernie.
Hi.
Ernie.
You're a Muppet already.
He's definitely a Muppet of a man.
Brandon and Emily, who just won our mailing list raffle.
They're definitely Muppets.
Muppets.
Jeff.
Jeff, ooh. I feel like you would want to live in the gooey house.
Yeah, gooey house, Jeff.
Yeah, possibly. Jimmy B.
Let us know if we're wrong.
Mm.
Ooh, that's tough.
You can't have a Muppet in the gooey house, Jimmy B, because the Muppets have that furry and then the sticky.
You don't want Muppets in a gooey house.
So don't do that, Jimmy B.
You can't do that, Jimmy. We got to take that back, and we're just going to have Muppets shoot at you.
Yeah. Well, Doozers made stuff out of sugar.
So we're going to open up to the Fraggle Rock, the Doozers.
Oh, you bring the Fraggles in, and they eat all the sugar stuff.
You're still getting arrows shot at your head, but now they're Doozer, those the sugar sticks.
Okay.
So the Doozers can, Dozers.
Is it, how do you pronounce Dozers?
Dozers.
I remember, but it's spelled Doozers, right?
I think it's, but you say Freddy. Dozers.
Oh, stop but you things. Say.
Oh, white men just say things with such authority that are wrong.
The trash heap has spoken.
I haven't watched Fraggle Rock in a long time.
Down at Fraggle Rock.
Our friend Eric's afraid of Uncle Traveling Matt. Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora.
Ooh.
We were just with you last night.
Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora would be beautifully crocheted little Muppets.
They would be.
Oh,
not exploitation. Check it out. Cassie's a genius.
And a Muppet joint. I'm just saying.
Tree and Alex.
Muppets.
I don't know. I think they'd like a gooey house.
They would like a gooey house.
Yeah.
I don't know, you guys. You let me know.
Yeah, we need to know.
They tend to watch what they eat, though. I don't know they want to live around all that.
Yeah, but that doesn't. They could watch it. They're not eating it. I think they would like the experience of a gooey house.
I could see Brandon Boone as a guest on the Muppets.
Yes.
Where he'd come and do his music.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Can't you see him surrounded by Muppets?
Aww. Yes. I want to see Brandon Boone on the keys surrounded by Muppets.
Yeah.
Playing the
shooting arrows at your head.
That would be a great photo shoot for you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Just for like your page somewhere, one of your musician areas.
Welcome to our nightmare, Brandon.
Areas.
One of your areas.
Sleep no more.
Bill in New York City.
New York City. Bill's definitely Muppets.
Yeah, it's definitely Muppets. He sold his soul to Alice Cooper for the ability to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Blake's
awesome.
Blake the Brewer.
Blake.
Think about this one.
Alcohol is a form of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar walls.
Mm. All Sugarland moonshine.
Oh.
Have we lost our minds in here?
I think we have lost it completely.
Mark Watts.
Sugar walls.
Oh, yeah. Sugar walls. Mark's into sugar walls.
Yeah. You can just tell looking at him.
He likes a gooey house.
Elise.
Oh, Decker likes a gooey house.
You love a gooey house.
Gooey house.
In the middle of the street.
Gooey house.
The kind you know you'd like to eat.
Oh, Michael.
I was going to try to go into the rap, but then I lost my courage.
10 days from today.
Yeah.
What's we will be doing our Halloween special viewing party on our Discord server.
What date is that?
The 30th, the day before Halloween.
October 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yep. Join us on our Discord server. We're going to fucking chat it up and have some fun.
Yeah.
We probably need to precursor our Halloween specials. We'll probably be more in Thanksgiving season because November, Halloween happens on the 31st. So a lot of the haunts will be going into.
I'd
like to try to optimize time.
Yeah, we probably won't have flaunt your haunt out until the first week of November.
I haven't been to one haunt yet this season. That's not like me.
Haunt?
She had to finish her puzzle. And still
I
not
didn't
done.
Fucking finish
it. Yeah.
God.
It's keeping you from living your best life.
Okay. Maybe the haunt is inside you.
No, it definitely is. I had dreams about that goddamn shit. Motherfucking puzzle. I love that puzzle, but I hate it.
You could charge $120 for the puzzle experience with Amy.
Yeah, you want to come listen to me scream and yell?
Guaranteed to hide your nightmares.
Next week is feedback and news.
Sugar wall feedback.
Gross.
Super gross.
Who wants to eat a bowl of guacamole with me? I'll give you guys the soupy parts in smaller portions, and I'll take the big clumpy part in the middle.
Wonder I'd rather what they eat dozer sticks.
All right.
I wonder what they were actually eating there.
I think it was guacamole.
It had gone brown.
Yeah, well, we'll go brown if we don't get out of here.
Okay, so see you later.